Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Tim Rocky. You are listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. And we have got a wonderful show for you this afternoon. As usual, we have got some sports, some news, some jazz, some blues. We're going to be rocking with a little bit of T-Pain beats. Because why not? The weekend sports has been fantastic. It's actually been a good 2 weeks in sports. If you are one of my avid listeners, you may notice that I was not here last week. I apologize deeply, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, but I was having fun in Florida. So let's get right down to it. In local news, the Palmer Moose head coach, Rod Christensen, is now the number one coach in Alaska high school history in wins. The head coach at Palmer High School for more than 20 years has surpassed 151 wins and also locked down the number two seed for the Moose in the playoffs. And let's keep in mind that the state championship game will be played at Palmer High School. So, if you... There are so many people I can think of that have been touched by the coaching and the coaching tree. Even those who may not be Rod Christensen himself, he's got so many good people working with him. And now those even include his two oldest sons, Cameron and Colin, who I will have on not this show, but a different show. I will be on Q99.7's... the huddle on Sunday, and I'll be talking to Cameron and Colin about, you know, what they have learned from their dad, not just as players, but as coaches. Both of them had stellar high school careers and then went on to play at Concordia University, Nebraska. And they have come back and they're joining their dad's coaching tree and helping them get to 151 wins. So congratulations to Rod Christensen. It is not easy to be a coach. It's not easy to be a coach of a lot of kids. You know, as a coach of 18 kids at a time, it's hard enough. But thinking about coaching 50 or 60 kids has got to be rough. And I know not only has it been an effort by Rod, but his wife Temple has seen just about as many movies as she has game films on her living room television. The family is just, it's all about Palmer football over there at what they call it, New Bedlam Ridge, the Christensen household. So congratulations to Rod and the coaching staff and the Palmer Moose. We're going to be getting into a little bit more football news when we return because there's a lot of football news to get to. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball. We're going to talk a little bit of everything. It's the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene with Tim Rocky right here on 89.5 FM.
It was the 14th of October, and that t-shirt off your shoulder. I was drunk, said I was sober, and you said, yeah, right. We were talking for a minute, then some guy tried to cut in. You took my hand, and we pretended like I was your guy. Whoa, and I tried to guess your middle name. Played that game, that mango reader you were drinking, and that Coldplay song that you were singing, and I bet right now you're probably thinking that it's crazy. I remember every detail, but I do, from your blue jeans to your shoes, girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable. Taking shots like it was nothing. Did the running, man, you loved it. Yeah, you laughed out loud. You brushed away your blinder and you kissed me out of nowhere. I can still show you the spot where everything went down. Whoa, I told you I was gonna marry you. You probably didn't think that it was true. Detail.
jumping right off the deep end. That mango reel you were drinking in that Coldplay song that you were singing. And I bet right now you're probably thinking that it's crazy. I remember every detail, but I do. I can still smell your perfume. Girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable. From your blue jeans to your shoes. Girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable.
Listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I'm Tim Rocky here with all of the numbers, news, and nonsense you can handle. All right, let's get to some football news that happened in stadiums that are not in Alaska. So the Rams played maybe the best game of the week. Yes, my fantasy team did win. I'm happy. We'll leave it at that. My fantasy team won almost primarily because of Todd Gurley. Number 29 had a big game, 113 yards and two touchdowns on the ground, had another receiving, and Jared Goff had a coming out party. The second year quarterback, who in his first year many thought was a bust already, too small, couldn't move enough, took 15 sacks on third down in only about eight games. In the game against 49ers, which they won in Santa Clara, 41-39 to move to 2-1 and send the 49ers to an 0-3 record. He had zero sacks on third down. On third down, he was going to get rid of the ball no matter what. It didn't matter if it was complete or not. He wasn't going to take a negative yardage situation. So it was an excellent game. Rams came out hot. In the fourth quarter, the Niners scored 19 points to make it interesting. And it came down to one of the last plays of the game. Nothing more you can ask for a football game than it to be exciting enough to almost completely fill the time limit of how that, you know, who's going to win that game. And that is not the norm for Thursday night games, as those have been really kind of the duds of the NFL schedule every week, where you only give a team 3 or 4 days to prepare and you make them wear some strange jerseys and it's not going to be a good situation. But this was the outlier. So I play fantasy football because I'm a special kind of nerd. I also am in a pick'em league with a bunch of my coworkers where we pick who's going to win what game. Now this week, I'm always feeling confident. I'm Tim Rocky. That's just who I am. But I thought I had most of them pegged. I thought I knew what was going to happen. And just about every game went different than it should have. So the Ravens and the Jaguars. We'll talk about what happened with the Ravens and the Jaguars here in a minute. But, and throughout the NFL for that matter. But the Ravens and the Jaguars played a strange game because the Ravens come in with a veteran quarterback, one of the best defenses in the league. And yeah, it's a game in London, but the Jaguars aren't supposed to be a team that you fear. Not yet, at least. They've only got a bunch of young studs on defense. Blake Bortles doesn't scare anybody. But 44 points was hung on the Ravens defense, a 44-7 win in London. Mercedes Lewis has 3 receiving touchdowns for the Jaguars. Blake Bortles throws 4 touchdowns, and they take that one to move to 2-1. The Buffalo Bills beat the Denver Broncos. I repeat, the Buffalo Bills beat the Denver Broncos 26-16. Trevor Siemian had 2 picks. Jamaal Charles only ran for 56 yards. The Broncos did not look like the Broncos of old. And Tyrod Taylor got 2 touchdowns in there, but game manager is what he is. He's not the guy you need to go out there and throw for 400 yards. You need him to take care of the football. And he was able to do that for the Bills this week. The Chicago Bears score a touchdown in overtime to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jordan Howard scores on a 19-yard rush. One of the better running backs in the league. He had 2 touchdowns on the game, 138 yards on 23 carries. Ben Roethlisberger was himself, 22 of 39 passing, 235 yards, and a touchdown to Antonio Brown, who had 110 yards receiving on 10 catches. But the Steelers lose to the Bears. The lowly Mike Glennon is the quarterback that beat the Steelers this week. Think about that. The Falcons won a barn burner against the Lions in what many people expect to be the NFC title game preview. Matt Ryan with 2 touchdowns, nearly 300 yards. Devontae Freeman, making my fantasy team do well this week. 21 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. The Colts beat the Cleveland Browns 31-28 in a battle of who wants to lose more. Jacoby Brissett for the Colts had 259 yards and a touchdown on 17 of 24 passing. T.Y. Hilton ate up most of those receptions. 7 catches for 153 yards and that touchdown. To spell Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett is looking quite serviceable, but you've got to have a defense. You've got to have a defense, and letting the Browns get 28 points up on the board is not something that frequently leads to a whole lot of wins. The Minnesota Vikings are 34-17 winners over the Buccaneers. I definitely picked the Buccaneers in this one, thinking, you know, the Vikings do not have their best quarterback right now. I love Dalvin Cook because he's on my fantasy team, but who knows if their running game is going to be sustainable, especially against a decent Buccaneers defense. Jameis Winston is getting into that upper echelon of NFL quarterbacks, but no. The Vikings double up on the Bucs, 34-17. They are victorious in Minnesota. The Patriots squeeze out a victory over the Texans in a matchup of defending Super Bowl champions, champion Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, and defending national champion Deshaun Watson, who now plays for the Houston Texans. The Patriots trailed going into the fourth quarter, but they get what they needed to get done. Brandon Cooks has fit nicely into that offense, 131 yards receiving and 5 catches, and 2 of them went for touchdowns. So when you look at a matchup between the Jets and anyone, you pick anyone. That's how football works. The Jets aren't good. This is America. It's 2017. You don't wake up and say, you know what, I think the Jets are going to do something amazing on a football field. But who is Robbie Anderson? Do you know? I do not. He had 3 receptions for 95 yards and a touchdown, and the Jets are 20-6 winners over the Dolphins. Pick up their first win of the season. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the New York Giants, who many had predicted to go deep into the playoffs and are now 0-3. The bright spot is that the Eagles scored 27, the Giants scored 24. The Giants scored all 24 of their points in the fourth quarter. If you're going to make it interesting, that's the way to make it interesting. Put the pressure on them late. Drew Brees shreds the Panthers defense, which has fallen so far since that Super Bowl appearance a couple years ago. 22 of 29 for 220 yards and 3 touchdowns goes Drew Brees en route to a 34-13 victory over the Panthers. Christian McCaffrey has 9 catches for 101 yards in that one. The Tennessee Titans, 33-27 victors over the Seattle Seahawks. The Green Bay Packers escape the Cincinnati Bengals, who now fall to 0-3, 27-24. The Kansas City Chiefs, 24-10 victors over the Chargers. And the team from Washington, 27-10 winners over the Raiders. So we got to talk about what happened in the NFL this week. And I really hate it when people ask sports journalists or athletes in general to stick to sports. That's a phrase that's been thrown around a whole lot as the athletes and those who cover them get more and more involved with the policies, behaviors, and cultures of things that are not sports. And a lot of people say, you know what, we pay you to tell us who ran the ball and what color jersey they wore, not how this affects modern day American culture. I dislike that. I think if you're a human and you have a voice, if you use it responsibly and do your due diligence reporting facts in a fair and unbiased manner, that comes from the heart. That's another important thing. If you're a reporter and you don't believe in what you're reporting, then why are you doing what you're doing? But a lot of people tell people in sports that they should be athletes and only athletes, and seen and not heard in that aspect. But I'm going to dive right into it. I don't like to get political on this show because, you know, as I love when some of my favorite sports journalists don't stick to sports, I am not going to do it unless I'm going to do it right. And in a 30-minute talk show that includes beats from T-Pain, some country, some folk, we'll probably play some blues on here later, I don't feel it's the right platform for me to address this issue. But I do want to go over what happened and one small thing that I think could make it better. So if you've not been living under a rock, you realize what I'm talking about before I even talk about it. So last year, Colin Kaepernick began to take a knee during the national anthem, and many people have taken offense to that. It spread throughout the league last year. Colin Kaepernick does not have a job currently, and he had said that if he'd gotten hired to be a quarterback in the NFL, he would end up standing for the national anthem. He was done with his protest. He wanted to protest the inequality of racial divide in the country, but he said he was done. Now, the man who was president made a tweet and also talked at a rally about how he thinks there should be rules that people have to stand for the national anthem. He thinks that there were some expletives thrown in there. And when you come after the NFL, here's what I'm going to say. When you come after the NFL, you had to best come correct. I don't know that he did. What happened was an outcry of support for the NFL by the NFL. In the first game on Sunday, the entire teams from Jacksonville and the Ravens were either locking arms or on a knee. Players from almost every single team did that. The owner from the Jaguars, Saeed Khan, who is the only Muslim owner in the National Football League, and also coincidentally a donor to Mr. Trump's campaign, locked arms with his players. Arthur Blank of the Falcons locked arms with his players. The Cowboys, who were 28-17 Monday night victors over the Cardinals, owner Jerry Jones locked arms with his players, but every single one of them stood. Every single player on the Seahawks was on a knee. There was a lot of people who wanted to let the person who told them not to use their voice know that they had a voice and that they were more than willing to use it. The thing that I would like to see with those who are protesting, what it is you're protesting is not something that I am privy to every day. It's not something that I know that I am affected by or that I understand completely, but I would like to. The thing that I wish the protesters would do, those on knees, those locking arms, those giving interviews at the podium, is I wish that they would organize in some fashion, come together as kneeling, anthem kneeling players of the National Football League or whatever, and put together some sort of forum, some sort of platform. Don't just kneel for ambiguity's sake. I heard one player was kneeling due to the lack of response of the hurricane relief in Costa Rica. I heard all sorts of different reasons for all sorts of things. And really, the poster child for this movement is Kaepernick, who originally stated that he was kneeling in opposition to racial inequality in this country. And he came off a little crossways a couple times where he didn't necessarily back up what he was doing with what he was saying. But no one has since come forth as a leader or as an organizer to say, why are we doing this exactly? I want to let people know what the reason behind this is. And in this case, this week, it seemed like it was more a call of unity for we want to stand together as NFL players and not be defeated by the words of the president that say that we should do as we're told and not have opinions, not have thoughts, and not try to exercise our voice, which is spread over millions of people worldwide who watch the NFL. They're saying we are definitely going to let you know that we are not going to go quietly into the night. Now, what I wish would happen is I wish somebody would come together and say, this is exactly why we're doing what we're doing. This is the reason that we are on a knee. This is what we would like to see happen. Help us change what we see unfit. I would like there to be some movement forward other than just, we don't like it. Why doesn't something else happen? So, a lot of thoughts there. Not a whole lot of them were entirely coherent. But the NFL lives on. The NFL will continue to play. I'm sure you will hear a lot more about that in the future. Reminder, on October 3rd, if you live in the city of Palmer, you can vote for your city council members. There's a city council meeting tonight. I will be there. I hope to see so many people, but it's a city council meeting, so I kind of assume it's going to be dead. Hopefully I'll see you there. I also hope that I will be seeing many of you at the voting booths, and you will be casting your votes and taking part in democracy. So that is about it for my show this week. I'm Tim Rocky. This has been the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. Thank you for listening.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be, you know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. What you want, the opportunities are, and if you find a new way, you can do it today, you can make it all true, and you can make it undo, you see, it's easy, you only need to know. Well, if you want to say yes, say yes. And if you want to say no, say no. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. And if you want to be me, be me. And if you want to be you, be you. 'Cause there's a million things to do, you know that there are. You want the opportunities on, and if you find a new way, you can do it today, you can make it all true,
and you can make it undo. You see, ah, it's easy. Ah, you only need to know. Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be. You know that there are, you know that there are, you know that.